If you own a business or run an organization, consider using IPR as part of your marketing strategy. Let us show you how to reach our loyal radio audience, advertise on our digital platforms, and even sponsor your favorite podcast. Spread the word about your business and support IPR at the same time. It's a win-win. Learn more at iowapublicradio.org/sponsors.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, a new exhibit at the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art showcases the work of iconic Iowa artist Grant Wood in a new light. We'll find out all about it. But first, Aiden Moles is 2.5 years old. He lives with his mom in Fort Madison, Iowa. But until just about a week ago, the only home he had ever known was Stead Family Children's Hospital at the University of Iowa. He was born 7 weeks early with non-functional kidneys. He received a kidney transplant a few months ago that eventually made his homecoming possible. And I will talk with one of Aiden's doctors in a few minutes. But first, Aiden's mom, Erin Donaldson, is on the line with me. Hello, Erin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. And I want to go back in time to when Aiden was born. He was born 7 weeks early, which that must have been such a scary time. I know that you are Aiden's adoptive mother, but I also know that you've been part of his life from the very beginning. Can you take me back to that time and what you were thinking?
So I am actually his biological grandmother. I had actually just went to Seattle. I was out there for my best friend's son's wedding, and the next morning when I woke up, actually, I got the call that he was being born, that his biological mother was being induced. And so at that point, you know, we didn't know anything was wrong. But a little while later, they called me back, and they said, you know, his kidneys aren't working. It's really bad. They don't know if he's going to make it. I mean, super scary. I mean, I was in frantic mode. I was just like, okay, I got to figure out how to get a flight back. You know, I just didn't know what to do. And then, you know, I get a call a little bit later. It's like, okay, well, it's not quite as bad as they thought, but he's got a lot of issues. And, you know, so put a little bit of a damper on my trip.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that went from being a moment of joy and excitement to being a moment of complete terror.
It was. It absolutely was, because you feel totally helpless, you know, and at that point, you know, you feel like you'd do anything to be in their place. You don't ever want to see a child go through something horrible.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of moments like that in Aiden's life. So it's been a long, tough journey, but he's a fighter.
How old was Aiden when you decided to adopt him, when you became his primary caregiver?
It was kind of evident early on that my son and his then wife, weren't going to be able to care for all of his medical needs. And I just knew right away that, you know, I want to do this. I want to be the one to give him what he needs. I just felt kind of like, you know, all my other kids were grown, and I don't know if I was having empty nest syndrome or what it was. But I kind of felt like, you know, this is my purpose now. And I don't know, from the moment I met him, I just fell in love. And, you know, we've kind of been joined at the hip since.
Well, he has been at the hospital for 2.5 years. He was dependent on dialysis right away. And you mentioned a lot of other issues. I'll be talking with Aiden's doctor in a little while so we can go into depth on those. But give me an idea of some of the challenges this little guy's been dealing with.
So he has chronic lung disease. And for the longest time, he was vent dependent. Then he became, during the day, he could be on just oxygen and then on the vents at night. He also has pulmonary hypertension. And then there are other things that were caused by the non-functioning kidneys, you know, high blood pressure, things like that, which have really either gone away or really died down since the transplant. It's amazing what it's done for him. So when he was in the NICU, when he was small, he would get sick a lot. and have to be intubated. He at one point got very sick and was sedated for 2 months. And on CRRT, which is like, it's like a blood dialysis. So he was out, he was under on that for probably close to 2 months, I think it was. So that was a really touch and go time, and it was really rough.
Wow. How much time were you able to spend with him? You live in Fort Madison. You have other responsibilities in life as well, and Aiden's been living at the hospital. How has that worked for you?
So I'm here, or I was here with him every weekend, every holiday. If I had a day off, I was up here. If he got sick, I would take the day off and come up. And then, of course, I took 2 weeks off to get his dialysis training. Or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't 2 weeks. I think it was 4 weeks. So basically, it was go home, work, and come up to Iowa City.
Wow. I'm sure there were a lot of touch-and-go moments during that time. Did you always feel hopeful that Aiden was going to make it?
Yes, I was always hopeful. There were moments that you were scared, really scared. But we never lost faith. We knew he was such a fighter because, you know, we always seen go through some really scary stuff. There was one time that, you know, if we really, really, you know, we were on the verge of really not knowing. But we never lost faith. A lot of praying. And we knew he could do it.
Tell me about him. I mean, this is not a normal way to grow up. He has so many challenges. I'm sure that developmental milestones for him have been different than they were for your other kids. But tell me a little bit about Aiden. Spending all of this time in the hospital, I'm sure he was also growing up and being a kid. What's he like?
Oh, he's the happiest little guy you could ever meet. He's I've had bad days, and just seeing him just, you know, will automatically put you in a good mood. He's silly. He's very entertaining. He likes to make people laugh. He really enjoys his PT, which unfortunately now we won't have as often. But he especially now after transplant, you know, he really is just, like you said, a normal kid. He's becoming more and more of a normal toddler. When we got home, he just, you know, wanted to check things out. He's a little apprehensive at first, but he's definitely got more comfortable and is exploring everything and just acting like a kid. But he is just seriously the happiest, easiest going child I've ever met, I think.
How long was Aiden on a transplant list?
I think possibly May of last year was when it was he went active. Within that first month, I think it was like in June, within a month we got a call for a kidney. But then it had problems and so they had to reject it. Not long after that, he got a virus that put him inactive on the list for a while. So all in all, I mean, from the time he went active on the list, 6 months before he had a transplant.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty quick for him.
Yeah. At the same time, I'm sure that felt like a long time. What did you believe having a kidney transplant would do for him?
Well, I really knew it would, you know, help, you know, his health, would, you know, obvious, you know, the obvious things. And they always told us, you know, these kiddos get kidneys and they just blossom and they just change. And I'm thinking, okay, we'll get this kidney and, you know, in a month, we'll see a big, huge noticeable change in him. And it was almost a matter of days, and he was pulling himself up and standing up, and so much fluid had just come off of him, and he thinned out. And before surgery, he was on a liter of oxygen, and if he became detached from that, he'd start desatting pretty quickly. To like within, I think a week or two after that, he was breathing room air, like he'd never even been on oxygen.
Wow.
Within like a month, he was off the vent completely at night. You know, it was just, I mean, so quick. I mean, even the doctors, I think, were pretty astounded at how quickly he, you know, improved. But it was just, he was just like a whole different kid. And it was just, I told the doctor, I'm like, boy, you weren't kidding when you said these kids really turn around.
Oh, that's amazing. So it was still a number of months. That was in November, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you still had several months in the hospital watching those changes happen. When did you start to think that maybe, just maybe, you could take your son home?
It was after Christmas. I mean, we obviously knew we weren't going to take him home before the end of the year. The beginning of the year, you know, he was doing so good. We hadn't had any setbacks, and things were going pretty good. And they started talking about, you know, discharge, and then we had to, you know, really dig our feet in the sand and start, you know, hit the ground running looking for nurses. Then he did get sick and start a little bit of a rejection. So that was a little bit of a setback, but it wasn't anything huge. They caught it early and, you know, got it cleared up pretty quick. So he likes to throw some curveballs in there once in a while.
Yeah, you've had quite the roller coaster ride for the last 2.5 years. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Erin Donaldson about her son, Aiden Moles, who spent the first 2.5 years of his life living at the University of Iowa's Stead Family Children's Hospital. He received a kidney transplant in November, and he just went home to his home in Fort Madison last week. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'm talking with Erin Donaldson. She is the mother of Aiden Moles. He is 2.5 years old, and he lives now with his mom in Fort Madison, Iowa. But until just about a week ago, the only home he had ever known was Stead Family Children's Hospital at the University of Iowa. He was born 7 weeks early with non-functional kidneys. He received a kidney transplant in November, and now he is home. Erin, what was your thought when you finally got the word that Aiden could come home?
Oh, it was total excitement and a little bit of panic because I had to hurry up and get his room ready and everything ready in the house. You know, it was kind of like we've waited so long, and so it's like, okay, when's it going to happen? It just didn't feel real. Didn't think it was ever going to come. It was also a really bittersweet day. I mean, everybody at the hospital is just family, you know. I saw them more than my own family.
Yeah.
It obviously was the only place he'd ever known. I felt like it was almost the only place I had known for 2.5 years. So it was all the emotions. It was a little crazy.
So going home, I mean, that was the first time Aiden had ever been in a car. And I just can't even imagine all of the things that he's seeing for the first time. What was the trip home like?
Oh, it was really good. I mean, I was, I thought he'd be a little more excited than he was. He just kind of looked out the window, watched things go by. I was in the back seat with him. And it was so cute. He just kind of reached over the side of the seat and grabbed my finger and was holding my hand. But he, for the longest time, he just sat there quiet, just kind of watching out the window and look over at me once in a while. And then he fell asleep.
How are things going at home?
They're going really good. It's been wonderful. It's busy. I definitely getting used to a little kid again is a lot. let alone a kid with, you know, all his needs. He's exploring and progressing in so many areas, and I think I get about 4 hours of sleep a night now.
Oh wow!
yeah, it's crazy, but it's so worth it.
Tell me a little bit about the kind of support that he needs at home. Again, I'm sure that this is a different experience from your other kids.
Well, with the trach, you know, you have to have the suctioning available. He has the pulse ox, which, you know, we kind of just pop that on once in a while checking, but you can kind of tell when he's in distress. And then, of course, if he's sleeping, he has that on.
And then that's to check for his blood oxygen level.
Yes, yes. His medications are on a specific schedule because he does have the time-sensitive anti-rejection drugs. You know, and you have to, like, he doesn't just have normal feeds like, you know, all my other kids did. You know, you have to mix up a special mixture. And then, you know, just drawing up all the meds, and he's got a lot of meds. And, you know, just, and he's fed through a G-tube. He doesn't take anything by mouth. So, you know, you got to pour those in the bag, and then you got to wrangle him because he wants to take off, and it's like, nope, you're going to pull that out of your belly. You got to sit. And keeping a two-year-old still is not the funnest thing.
No, that's a real challenge. Can you tell me about one of your favorite moments since he has been home, a moment where maybe just things feel normal?
Oh, my gosh. So I think it was the second day we were home, or well, the first night, I guess, actually, it was nighttime. He had this little, I had put some blankets down on the living room floor and some pillows around it, made a little nest. And he starts like his nighttime feeds at 8 o'clock. So I had hooked him up and everything, and he just laid down. He was watching TV. He was getting so tired, and he was fighting it. And I lay down on the floor next to him, and it's the first time I've ever been able to really lay next to him, and which is like, you know, I really wanted, you know, waited till for that moment. And so I laid next to him, and I snuggled up next to him, and he grabbed my arm, and he just pulled it over him like a blanket. And
aww.
I was like, oh, it was so sweet.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I hope things continue to go well. I know he's got a lot of challenges, but it sounds like he's a really amazing kid.
He is. He absolutely is.
Erin Donaldson, thank you.
Thank you.
Erin Donaldson is the mother of Aiden Moles, who spent the first 2.5 years of his life at Stead Family Children's Hospital at the University of Iowa. Dr. Lindsay Harshman is assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics and one of Aiden's doctors. She is on the line with me now. Hello, Dr. Harshman.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And before we talk about some of the challenges that Aiden has faced, what was it like to be able to send him home after all of this time?
You know, almost indescribable. And to be honest, whenever I think about it or talk about it, and just that day, it does make me tear up because there are very few times that a care team gets to care for a child like this for 940 some days, watch them go through the ups and downs, and be able to send them home on such an up moment, really a victory lap for Aiden and his family. And yeah, it's indescribable.
Oh, that's just amazing. And let's go back 2.5 years. As mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier, Aiden was born 7 weeks premature. He mm-hmm. was born with non-functioning kidneys. Tell me more about his medical condition at birth.
Aiden was a sick little boy from the beginning. He was hospitalized here first in our neonatal intensive care unit. And I really have to say, you know, our NICU and our PICU, the pediatric intensive care units here, are hands down just amazing. And we couldn't take care of babies this sick and with complex kidney disease without their assistance, because they are fantastic. So Aiden was born with kidneys that really did not work well. Dysplastic kidneys is the term. And so they're small, they are malformed, and really just don't do the work that your kidneys or my kidneys do, which the job of a kidney is to clean the blood and help make urine. And in that process, there's things like blood pressure regulation, electrolyte regulation, and critical components to growth that really happen through kidney function. So Aiden's kidneys did not work, and very early on, it became clear that he needed to start on dialysis. And so he received something called peritoneal dialysis as an infant, and through about half of his first year of life until he required transition to a more intensive type of dialysis. But his dialysis was every day, multiple hours a day, because he didn't make much urine and he couldn't, therefore, regulate his fluid balance in his body.
Oh, wow. So he was just hooked up to a machine a large portion of the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It in the neonatal ICU, the NICU, because children are small, we have to be very adaptable with our machinery that we use, our equipment, right? And so dialysis for babies, most of the time we're having to use equipment that is FDA approved for adults, and we have to make modifications for babies because there really is only one to two types of modalities that we have that are truly suitable for babies. And one of those is, again, this peritoneal dialysis. And with that, when we started out, actually the nurses at the bedside in the NICU are responsible for manually instilling and draining fluid into the baby's abdomen multiple times a day to provide the cleaning that they need.
Wow. Now, when I was talking with Erin Donaldson, Aiden's mm-hmm. mom, she also mentioned his tracheal tube. Mm-hmm. So tell me about some of the other challenges. I mean, she mentioned he's on a feeding tube. The kidneys obviously were a major life-threatening thing, but mm-hmm. what else was going on and is going on?
Many times when babies are born early, they have something called pulmonary hypoplasia, meaning their lung tissue is it kind of takes a little bit of a hit with formation when kidneys are forming in utero and the baby is making urine. That urine actually forms components of the amniotic fluid. Then the baby actually breathes that in, swallows that in, and it nurtures the lungs in utero when baby is developing. And so when a baby does not have good kidney function, it's actually very common that in utero and development, the lungs don't form well either. And so many times babies need prolonged intubation, and or they have trouble with something called pulmonary hypertension, which Aiden really, really struggled with. And that really means that the blood vessels that are between the heart and the lungs are abnormally constricted. They have a lot of higher pressure within that circuit, and it can be a major problem for babies, and they need to be on a ventilator for quite some time, to the point where the safest thing for them is to actually put a tracheostomy in so we can have consistent airway support.
Will he always need to have that?
This little boy is amazing. So if you would have asked me 6 months ago, I probably would have said, gosh, I don't know what will be the end game with this tracheostomy, but since his transplant, this little boy has just flown. It's unbelievable to see how much progress he's made in everything, including his ventilatory status, meaning the lungs, the breathing, and so much so that our pulmonology colleagues were saying, gosh, we can't even explain this. And we're like, well, it's the kidney. He feels great. He's actually got normal body functions at this point. So my goal and our hope is that we can actually start the process towards removing that tracheostomy later this spring, once we get through the kind of the winter season here and see good stability for him.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. And at what point, his kidneys weren't working from the beginning. So at what point did a kidney transplant begin to be a possibility for him?
That's a great question. So kidney transplant is no small feat, And so I'm the medical director of kidney transplant at the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital, and really help to guide the process in parallel with our surgical colleagues who are amazing in saying, when can a child get a transplant? And one of the primary criteria for moving towards a transplant is that we need to feel that it's reasonably safe to transplant the child. Transplanting it's not a cure for the child, because eventually in their life they will need another transplant. It's a bridge. And so for Aiden, as we started talking about as a team, how do we get him home? It became abundantly clear that one of his primary options to go home would be to transplant him out of here. His barriers to going home were lack of home nursing to care for his respiratory status, the ventilator he was on at that point. And then there's a place in the central part of the state that could do his ventilatory cares from a rehab, long-term stay perspective, but they couldn't do dialysis, and he needed the dialysis component. So we were stuck at that point. So then we started talking about, well, could we transplant him? Is it safe to transplant him? And so we did an evaluation process almost a year ago, which involves myself, my surgeon that I work with, Dr. Axelrod, who's a phenomenal surgeon, and our multidisciplinary team. And we said at that point in time, well, here's the goals, here's the objectives. What do we have to do to make sure this child is safe to transplant? And we went through our checklist intensively and felt that at that point in time, we could actually safely transplant him.
And Aaron was, again, talking about just the almost miraculous feeling changes that mm-hmm. have taken place since this successful transplant. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it changes how he can clean his blood and produce mm-hmm. urine and all of that. But our bodies are so interconnected. I mean, it almost feels mm-hmm. like you're talking about changes that you weren't expecting and can't explain.
To some extent, you know, it's I don't feel like it's any stretch of the imagination to say in some ways what you see after transplant is a miracle. So many times with these little kids, it's one of the biggest joys of my job to be able to see a patient within the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks after transplant, because the families are like, this child, we never knew our child could be this energetic or this, you know, happy, because you see a child that needs a transplant and they just are not able to keep up with their peers. Their energy is not as good. Many kids need gastrostomy tube feeding because they don't eat well. They have oral aversion when they have early onset kidney failure. So for Aiden, seeing him just thrive in the last 3 months since his transplant has honestly, yes, just been in some ways dumbfounding how amazing he's done. I was on a call the week that he actually was transplanted, and vividly remember within 48 to 72 hours as I came down to the intensive care unit to see him, he's standing up in his crib. And we're like, what? This is insane. He is just going and grooving so quickly. It was phenomenal.
Oh, that's just incredible. And what do you think Aiden's prognosis is for the future?
I think he has an excellent prognosis. He, at this point in time, has beautiful kidney function. His kidney function is really, by numbers, equivalent to what I would expect for a child of his age. He's growing well. He's developing well. The thing that will be so fun to see is how quickly he starts to catch up. Because if you think about it, for Aiden, much of the first 6 months of his life were sedated, ventilated, really just in a hospital bed. So he missed the first 6 months at least of his life to be able to do normal baby things. So at this point in time, he's making tremendous developmental catch-up growth. And, you know, within the next 1 year, 2 years, and so on and so forth, he'll continue to do that. He'll continue to be able to, you know, hopefully get the tracheostomy removed, start actually eating more, having more and more speech. He does some sign language, but he's starting to want to talk. You can tell he's trying to talk or make sounds over his trach. So he's going to do a lot of normal kid things. Transplant's not easy, and we tell that to every family. It's not easy, but it really is a tremendous life changer for these kiddos.
Well, and I think we need to underscore what a gift it is for people to be an organ donor. That's such an important thing to understand here.
It is. It is. It's really one of the most amazing feats, I feel like, in modern medicine, that we're able to do this for our patients. And the donor families really just stay in your heart forever. Even though we don't know, as a medical professional for Aiden, I don't know the donor, but in your heart, you just feel that gift as such a tremendous component of his success.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Dr. Lindsay Harshman, thank you so much for sharing Aiden's story with us and for all of the good work that you do.
Well, thank you so much. It's a joy to be here today.
Dr. Lindsay Harshman is Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. She is one of Aiden Mole's doctors. After 2.5 years in the hospital, he has gone home. This is Talk of Iowa.